You know, I always like communion because I may be a preacher, but I'm not a very good person. I have a lot of faults. I do and say things that I'm frequently ashamed of afterwards. I don't live the kind of life that I know Jesus wants me to. I try, frequently fail. But I'm a sinner, forgiven by grace, as all of us are. And we're gathered here as sinners, forgiven by the grace of a loving God, to worship Him. Now, what kind of worship do you like? Some like traditional worship. Some like contemporary worship. Some like formal worship. Some informal. Some say they want to worship like we've always worshiped. And some say they want to worship as we've never worshiped before. For the first, if we haven't done it this way before, don't do it now. For the others, if we've ever done it this way before, let's do something different. Well, the fact is, when you go to the Bible, you find all kinds of worship there. I think the important question in worship is not whether it is formal or informal. I have been told that Central is the most liturgical church in our denomination, especially when it comes to Holy Communion. But the key question is, to whom is our worship directed, whatever form it takes? For example, there are those who say that the purpose of worship is to evangelize the lost, to touch the heart of the unbeliever. But are those the persons who are the audience for worship? Some say that the purpose of worship is to bless the Christians, the members of the congregation, those who support the church week after week. But as one writer says, we have missed the point of worship when God ceases to be the audience. We have missed the focus of worship when God ceases to be the audience and someone else has taken his place, whether it be the unsaved or whether it be the saved. So the first question we need to ask ourselves about worship is this: does our worship please God? I'm going to ask you to do something. In your mind, think of two reasons why you are in church this morning. Get those two reasons firmly fixed in your mind. Many of us come to church for a variety of reasons. We come to get fed spiritually. We come to please our spouse. We come to fellowship with other Christians. We come to set a good example for our children. We come to have our hearts warmed. We come because it's the proper thing to do. And those are good reasons, I suppose. But the whole point of worship is to have God as our audience and to please Him with what we do here this morning. Does that make some sense to you? Do you remember how Jesus put it? He was talking to the woman at the well. And He said, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And then Jesus added, God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So the ultimate test of a service of worship is not whether it pleases you and me. It's not whether it's formal or informal. It's not whether it's contemporary or traditional. The whole point is, does it please God? And that's my first point this morning. The second point is this: are there those who are just spectators, or does everybody get to participate? Now, if you come here just to be blessed and fed spiritually yourself, and you remember what two reasons you had for coming here this morning, if you came just to be blessed and fed spiritually, you may end up being just a spectator. Now, a spectator sits there and expects to be entertained or to be blessed in some way. And because of that, he may end up criticizing the choir's anthem. He may evaluate the prayer of the liturgist as to whether it's too long or too short or too boring or too whatever. A spectator will judge the sermon as being good, bad, or indifferent. But a person who is a true worshiper will participate in his heart when the choir sings and will sing in his inner spirit. When the liturgist prays in his heart, he will add the Amen. And when the preacher preaches, he will give glory to God. Yes, the true worshiper is a participant, not a spectator. Religion is not a spectator sport. The third thing I want to say about worship has to do with emotion. Now, there are a lot of contemporary worship that creates emotions in people's hearts. And genuine emotion is a legitimate part of worship. But let me ask you this. Have we worshiped if worship is not emotional? You see, if emotion is the only criterion of worship, we've again made ourselves the focus of worship. We've said, I didn't feel anything, therefore I haven't worshiped. I think in worshiping God, emotion should be a byproduct of worship and not its focus. And it's okay to sing simple choruses and to sing them over and over. It's choruses that are simple, that have folk melodies. But you know, we impoverish ourselves when we do just that, because we stand in a long tradition of history. And worship should include the great confessions, the great hymns, the great music, the great anthems of our heritage. And we impoverish ourselves when we do just the one or just the other. And we do not do any of these things to feel good and to have an emotional feeling that tugs at our hearts. No, we worship to please our audience, God. We listen to Him, we speak to Him, we sing to Him, we praise Him, and while we can do this informally or formally, whatever we do and however we do it, worship should have a sense of awe and dignity and solemnity. The next thing I'd like to say about worship is that it is truly worship only when we offer ourselves to God. Isn't that what the writer of the book of Romans said? Paul wrote, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And then he adds, this is your spiritual act of worship. Why are you here this morning? Are you here to praise and worship with God as your audience? Are you here to recommit yourself to Him as a living sacrifice? You see, you and I may come for many reasons, such as fellowship with other believers, to be fed ourselves. But primarily we must come to do something that is pleasing to God, and in the process offer ourselves to Him. And if we don't do that, then we have not worshipped. If we have not pleased God with what we do, if we have not praised and honored and adored Him, and if we have not offered ourselves to Him, we have not worshipped. In our scripture for this morning, the Bible says that the first believers worshipped. And how did they do that? The Bible says they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the fellowship, to Holy Communion, or as Acts puts it, breaking of the bread, and to prayer. And you remember the Bible says that they felt awe. They had a sense of awe and reverence. It says everyone was filled with awe. Now today we're going to praise God in a different way. When I came here almost 20 years ago, I installed a new order of service for Holy Communion. There were lots of rituals of responses and so on that we did. And we've been doing that for 20 years. And this morning we're going to do something different. The elders will go to designated spots. There will be an elder for the balcony, for each of the transepts, and two elders in the front and two in the back. And ushers are going to come, and do not leave your pew until an usher tells you to. And you're going to come, if you're the front half of the sanctuary, you're going to come forward to one of the elders here, receive the elements, and go back around to your pew. If you're in the back half, you will go to the back and around. Now, if you're handicapped and can't do that, just remain in your seat, and after everyone else has been served, the elders will come to you. So wherever you are, do not leave your pew until an usher tells you to, and you will see where to go. Now, as we're going to do it differently, you can see we have pieces of bread with a chalice. You will take the bread and dip it into the juice, grape juice. Put your hand under it so it doesn't drip on the carpet or on your clothes. You may go ahead and take communion then, or you may want to go back to your pew and meditate. And as we do this, we're going to be singing. If you'd rather be praying, you don't have to sing. There is a song sheet in your bulletin that you can take with you, and we'll be singing. Some of us will. Some of you may want to be quiet and pray as you take communion. But however you do that, we're going to have this opportunity to worship God in a new way and offer to Him our adoration and our prayer. Now let us pray.